Thought Bubble Audio.
Look, up in the sky!
You will never find the more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
Welcome to Beer with Geeks with Tim and Frank.
Who are you?
I'm Batman.
I am Iron Man.
Your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man.
Hi, Christopher. I'm Nero.
My name is Inigo Montoya.
You're a wizard, Harry.
A couple of guys with a couple of beers and a whole lot of pop culture nostalgia.
Make it so, number one.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Beatles.
Name the dog Indiana.
Life finds a way.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Now sit back and crack open a cold one. Because it's time for Beer with Geeks.
It comes in pints?
Shaken, not stirred.
Great Scott!
I was way off. I knew it started with an S, though.
Hi, and welcome to Beer with Geeks. We're two geeks geek out with beer. I'm Tim, and with me, as always, is my baby Frank. How are you?
I'm good. Why do I have beer in my hand if I'm a baby? Dear God, that's irresponsible.
Give me that. Nah, you're fine. You're a tree. What does it matter?
I guess that's true.
Yeah, alcohol is good for trees. Everyone knows
that. Sure. Yeah, totally.
Absolutely. Yeah. How are you today?
I am fan-treaking-tastic. I was trying to make a tree joke. It didn't work out.
That was very well. That was
terrible.
It was terrible.
Terrible. How are you?
I'm good. I'm fine.
Good, 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 good.
Yes, indeed.
What you drinking?
Oh, that's behind me. The pain. I'm drinking Harpoon. It's a limited Harpoon.
Oh.
Citrusy IPA. So funny.
Citra.
Hoppy, sunny, citrusy IPA with citra hops and grapefruit peel.
Nice.
I don't like that I had to pull out the peel myself out of the bottle, but yeah, besides that, it's good.
That seemed a little much, but, you know, still.
No, I'm just kidding. Silly. I have to do that. I do like this quite a bit.
Do you like it? Yeah.
Yeah.
I had that a couple weeks ago.
I have to enjoy by 10:07 on July the 15th, 2017.
Well, that's oddly specific, but okay.
Or if you take the 067 after that, I have to enjoy by July 15th in the year of our Lord, 17,067.
Could happen. You never know.
Yeah, you never know.
They do make good beer, Harpoon. It could last a while.
Yeah.
Good beer like the Harpoon Sweet Spot Golden Ale, where smooth meets complex.
You've had that before, haven't you?
I have had it. Mm. Yeah. They did it last summer. It premiered last summer as a seasonal.
Oh, sure.
Beer. And so I had it last year as well. But I haven't had it since. And the Citrusy is a new one.
Yeah, I really like this. One, for the pun. Two, for the colors in the bottle. I like this turquoise color.
I like their...
The sea foam.
Yeah.
It's definitely turquoise.
Yeah. I like their seasonal labels. They're very festive and fun.
They are festive, even though it's a little chilly out today.
It's all right. So, you know, we have some fun announcements that we should talk about.
Oh, do we?
Oh, we sure do. Because aside from, you know, our listeners, I should say, are fantastic and always, you know, leave us great iTunes reviews and make us feel like make us feel very, very lucky and fortunate to have you listeners. But we want to make the show even better for you guys and bring you new shows too. And so if you can, we would like to invite you to join our new Patreon community, patreon.com/thoughtbubbleaudio. And that's where you can support us. And if you get any value out of the show, you enjoy a laugh, you enjoy a conversation, hearing about a topic you didn't know about or you know, something you hadn't thought about in a long time on this show, if you get some value out of the show, you can give some value back by, you know, as little as a buck a month can help. And if you can't donate, that's fine. Tweets, iTunes reviews, telling a friend, Facebook posts, Instagrams, all those things are awesome and we appreciate them and please do them. And anything you can to help spread the word about the show. But if you would like to support us, you know, there's a few different things you can do. At $1 a month, you get early access to news announcements. You'll be eligible to be our patron of the month. For $3, you get all of that, but you also get, we'll follow you on Twitter from any of our podcast Twitter accounts and give you a Follow Friday shout out. And if you really want to ramp things up, we have our exclusive content level, and that's where You get exclusive bonus material, early access to regular episodes. You get Beer with Geeks episodes sooner than everybody else, by a few days, sometimes even by a few weeks. And extra, you know, Patreon only podcasts. Like, we launched a Supergirl First Reactions podcast, that we're really, really excited about. And that's only for our patrons. That'll never hit the regular feeds. It's only for patrons, brand new show. So, you know, for $5 a month, you get the extra content stuff sooner, bonus material. You know, once in a while, we'll have outtakes and things like that that we'll throw out on there. And you get, of course, the $1 and $3 level stuff. And then at $10, you can be the co-executive producer. You get a credit listed on our thoughtbubbleaudio.com website. But more importantly, you get to control the suggestion box. You get to submit ideas for our suggestion box. And you can submit a Beer with Geeks topic, and we'll give you credit if we cover it. So that's great at the co-executive producer level, $10 a month if you really want to be a hero. And if you really, really want to be a hero, $25 will get you a personal phone call or Skype call from me and Tim. We will ring you up. We'll chat you up.
I am not a robot.
You are not. Personal. No. Very good, Timbot. Good job. Very convincing. Yeah. You can get it's one time only per person. We're capping it at 10 people. If there's interest, we'll keep doing more. We've already had a couple of people sign up at that level. But if you really want to get a phone call with us, that's a great way to do it. So those are the rewards that we have. We hope that, you know, they're a small token of appreciation for everything you guys do for us, but we hope that you appreciate them. We hope that you find them fun. You can find, you know, everything I just said, patreon.com at thoughtbubbleaudio, patreon.com/thoughtbubbleaudio. If you want to see it all laid out and decide what the right level for you is, but any amount helps. $1 a month will still be forever grateful for helping us make our shows the best they can be, helping us get new equipment, and create new shows. And even if you can't justify that $1 a month, again, you can do your part by leaving us an iTunes review, tell a friend about the podcast. You guys truly are the best podcast audience, and we really, really appreciate you. So check it out. The link is in the show notes if you want to find it there, patreon.com/thoughtbubbleaudio. But we saw a movie this week.
We did see a movie.
We both want to talk about.
We did see a movie.
Yes, yes.
A movie you really want to talk about, and I'm pretty ambivalent to.
So we're at the gate. So I couldn't tell, you know, we were texting about it and you sounded not thrilled about it, but so you really would describe your outlook as ambivalent.
For Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, I think I should clarify what movie we're talking about before we start talking about it. Spoilers moving forward. Fair. As always. You start, because I don't want to start on a negative Nancy.
All right,
though it's not really negative. I will say I did enjoy it.
Okay. So I thought this movie was very fun. I thought that it was a fitting successor to Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 1 in lots of ways. I felt like this was, you know, the gang is back together, and, you know, Baby Groot is Baby Groot. It picks up like pretty much like shortly after the last one ended, so it's like still takes place in 2014, which is kind of interesting. And you know, the continuing adventures of our favorite friends. The jokes were there. The lovability of the characters was there. Their flaws were still there. So on that level, I really, really enjoyed this movie. I found it very fun, very enjoyable. The humor and the heart was there.
Mm.
What's your sort of high level, 30,000 foot view? And then we'll get into it more. But and there will be spoilers ahead. So
it was fine. It felt like here are all the things you loved about the first movie, so here it is ad nauseum until you don't like those things anymore. End of movie credits. That's actually the movie that I felt like I watched.
So it really detracted from your enjoyment of...
Yeah, a bit. Yeah,
really?
It did. So we'll take the Awesome Mix first. So right,
okay.
He gets Awesome Mix Volume 2, and... I didn't think I heard three songs in the first 5 minutes of the movie, 10 minutes of the movie, and that right off the bat kind of felt like you loved that there were five whole songs in the first movie, so here's 15 songs where you don't hear the whole thing, and they maybe don't have the same oomph or presence as the first one because you're kind of rapidly flowing through them. It kind of felt like Suicide Squad to me, where it, like, it would do a song and then would cut to something else, and it would do another song, and then would cut to something else and do another song. And I'm just like, just play a stupid song. Like, let me sit with it for a second.
I can see that. I can see that, and I will give you that. So I think the Awesome Mix Volume 2 is not as good as Awesome Mix Volume 1 for sure. I will agree with that.
Yeah, no, I didn't. I don't think the songs were. I don't think they were as catchy.
Yeah, I mean, it's just not as good a selection of songs.
It's a different style. It's a different style of music, and so it's a little more mellow. And I like it. The music didn't pump me up the way that I thought that it should.
Yeah, yeah.
Considering the fun of the first one. Now, it's been clearly stated, just a few episodes ago, that I like the first one, but I don't love the first one.
Yes,
I think that it's got heart, and it's visually very pretty. It's very colorful, but I think that it's kind of just, it's fun, but it's missing something. And this one I felt was missing even more.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's kind of fun until it remembers that it needs a plot.
I think that's harsh. See, I think you're being harsh because I think that there is a plot. Admittedly,
There's definitely a plot. I'm not saying it doesn't have one, but I'm saying like the movie's having fun with itself until it's like, right, a story. Okay. And then it actually kind of slows down at that point.
Okay, so I will agree. Yes, I do think it slows down. The kind of middle of the movie is missing some oomph.
It feels like it's modeled on Empire Strikes Back, but it's missing
which James Gunn said that in many ways it is.
Yeah, he looked at sequels and what makes a successful sequel, but it's not all of the things that make successful sequels necessarily mean that they're
right.
I mean they're important. So like, he looks at like Khan.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
You know, the death of Spock is the death of Yondu.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't really care for Yondu anyway, so it didn't bother me. I know people love the Yondu, and I'm just like, he's fine.
Yeah.
It's not my kind of character.
I loved Yondu in this movie. I never cared for Yondu in the first
one. See, I liked him more in this one than I did in the last one, but it's still I'm just starting to like you, and now...
Well, but that's what made it so impactful was I've learned so much about you, and I've seen you, like, other dimensions of you. I see you as a three-dimensional character now. I see you as a person with feelings and not just like, I'm Eve, I'm a pirate. Like, he's more than that.
Sure, but
Untimely ripped, you know? Like, that's how I felt.
Yes, true, but I also, I knew it was coming. Because he's, still on, like, you'll never get a funeral.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, as the thing of the world. And I'm like, okay, so you're going to die in this movie.
Can I hear Stallone again?
Yeah, Stallone, through the movie. It's not a good Stallone.
It's Stallone.
Yeah, Stallone. Yeah, Sly Stallone. Yeah, he was fun. It's hard to understand, but he was fun.
As he always is.
He's just, when he yells, it's very hard to know what he's saying.
So
I know you're mad at Yondu for something, but I don't know what it
not
is.
Not sure what happened. Something about kids? I don't know.
Yeah. What? He didn't vote for you when you were in the boxing ring? Like, yeah, what? I don't know what it is.
Boxing ring elections now? What?
No, he's Rocky. It's a Rocky reference.
I know.
It didn't know exactly, I feel like, what movie it wanted to be in some
way. Okay.
Like, some things were, like, really dark when they were, like, throwing people, like, out of the airlock.
Oh, that was so dark.
Right. And
that was
then,
so dark.
Like, and, like, all of Ego's dead children, like, piled up in a thing. Yes. Like, it's pretty dark.
It's very dark.
But you know what I mean? So it's like, I thought it had... Like, or the prostitution planet that the Ravagers were on.
Yeah, that didn't impact me so much.
But no, I mean, like, but you know what I mean? Like, those are, like, heavier things.
Yes.
Than versus, like, Baby Groot going,
I am Groot.
So, like, I thought it just had a hard time reconciling, like, did you want to be fun like the first? I thought the first one had the same problem. Like, you have this villain who's clearly, like a maniacal terrorist, like... You know, like jihad type.
Yeah.
And like you do a dance off at the end of the movie.
Yeah, but But that's Peter Quill. Like, that's who Peter Quill, at least the MCU is Peter Quill. Like, that is just who he is. Like, he is ridiculous.
Right.
Like, to the extreme. And they all kind of are. Rocket is ridiculous.
Right. They're definitely ridiculous. Yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah.
That's who they are. So, like...
But my point with that is, like, so, like, you have this, like, dark... like tone somewhere, but you keep smushing it down to the point of like, why even bother to have it?
Oh, see,
if you don't like in some ways foster it, so I feel like there's any kind of stakes whatsoever.
I
never feel like there's any kind of stakes.
I'm watching it very much as if I'm reading a comic where it's like something ridiculous is going to happen, but that doesn't take away from it, from there being high stakes. Like Deadpool, like in Deadpool, he's cracking jokes every other second, right? But it's still, the stakes are still there. His girlfriend's going to die if he doesn't, you know, like all these things are still there, but he's cracking jokes like crazy. And to me, the dance off or anything ridiculous in either of these movies, to me, like, are just sort of like funny asides, like to the audience almost.
Sure.
But the story continues like in a comic.
Sure. Okay. I can understand that. And sometimes I think some things work better in a comic than they do in a film.
I'll agree with that.
Yeah, so, but Deadpool breaking the fourth wall, so it's different. Like, they don't, like, you're supposed to believe in the universe they've created for another in the MCU, right? You know, like, Peter Quill's not turning and winking at the camera.
You're right.
But Deadpool knows it's all fake, so, like, thus almost disintegrating the stakes at that point, and so you're in it for a different reason, where it's, okay. Yeah, so.
To me, you know, Peter or Rocket saying something silly in a tense moment releases the tension a little bit, but I don't know, it's almost like, it's like a meta thing of like they're saying it to Ego or whoever,
right?
But they're in a way saying it to us, like while they're not actually breaking the fourth wall, it's sort of a,
and I don't have a problem with, I want them to be funny, like the sure. first one's funny,
yeah.
This one is also funny,
yeah,
like
yeah.
I'm not saying that, like I'm not looking for the like the Dark Guardians of the Galaxy,
right,
you know what
right,
I mean?
Right. Dark
Gritty
reboot,
right? No, that would be weird, and
terrible.
I don't want to go there.
Right,
I do not want to go to there.
No.
But I'm saying that, like the, do you want me to be scared for Yondu, like when there's a mutiny and Taserface takes over?
Taserface,
or do you want me to just be like, it's Taserface, everything's going to be fine, it's fine, don't worry about it, it's fine.
Yeah.
Is it a comedy or is it not a comedy? I think that's really
it's a comedy. It's clearly a comedy,
yeah.
but with some stakes.
Yeah, but I don't think there are any stakes. That's what I'm saying. Like it's pretending that it has them, but it really, I don't feel that it does.
Okay.
Even though Yondu died. So like it should like feel like there should be some emotional resonance there, and there's just not for me. Like you're battling, like Peter's battling Ego, his father,
yeah.
At the end,
yeah.
after he just found out that Ego gave his mom cancer,
yeah,
and so that like she died, and like it's this big emotional thing, and he turns into Pac-Man.
Yeah, I mean,
you know what I mean? Like, is that really where his head's at, that he would turn into Pac-Man?
Well, because that's like, to him, that's like, I don't know, like to him that makes it like, think of when he was growing up and when he's born, like that is how Pac-Man is like a symbol of like defeating something. Like
that, I get where you're coming from, but that feels like a big stretch.
Okay,
yeah.
I don't know. To me, it fits in its own little corner of the MCU. It works and it makes sense, and it has stakes and a sense of humor. And the two don't cancel each other out. It is. I would categorize both movies as comedies that have, you know, dramatic thematic elements.
Sure. Like, would you categorize? Major. So, like, Indiana Jones is funny, right?
Yes.
So, but you would never categorize Indiana Jones as a comedy.
No, it's an adventure movie.
No, it's an adventure movie that right. that has a sense of fun to it.
Yes.
And this is a comedy that has
a
some
sense of
action
drama to it.
That has some action to it.
Mm-hmm.
But. It maybe is misinterpreting its drama. Misinterpreting is not the right word,
okay.
But it's like, I don't know, like it's throwing in something dramatic because it feels like it needs to, but it's not landing the way that it wants it to for me.
Okay.
So like,
I have heard some of those, some of those criticisms from other people as well. But I feel like you feel it more strongly than anyone I've heard from so far.
Yeah, I'm not saying it's not a bad movie, and I, no, I know like, you're not I, saying I, that. I'm like, it's definitely not. It's definitely not a bad movie.
Sure.
I just think that it's kind of, it feels like it's resting on the laurels of the first one, and it didn't do anything fresh.
Okay.
Whereas the first one felt fresh. Yeah. Like, regardless of, like, some things that I didn't like about it, I can rewatch it and be like, this movie's fun. I'm having a good time.
Yes.
All the way throughout this movie. And this one feels like it's just, like, classic middle movie, the team's not together.
Okay.
Which I never like.
Yeah, it's not.
I never like when the team is separated,
except for Empire Strikes Back. I don't.
Which even then, I still like. It doesn't. I don't really like it.
Empire Strikes Back is not my favorite Star Wars movie. I think it is the best crafted, but it's not my personal favorite.
Right, because the team is one of the reasons the team is separated, and regardless of the fun and the importance of Luke on Dagobah and like all this stuff,
it's not as fun as the swashbuckling gangs all together.
Seeing them all, the gangs all together. And so like Rocket ostracizing himself through the whole movie, like, did not endear me to the character.
But Rocket talking to Yondu about the way he, like, realizing that they, what they have in common, and that they, you know, why they ostracize themselves and why they feel that way.
Yeah.
That's super, to me, super impactful.
I thought that was fine. It was well done. But I thought it just took his, I thought Rocket could still ostracize himself in the film without making me dislike him.
Oh, see, I didn't feel that way any more than I did in the first movie.
Yeah, they were trying a little too hard to make, you know what it was? I shouldn't have gone in with like an analysis brain, which is sometimes what I do.
I was actually going to kind of say, like, I kind of went in just for the sake of watching it, like, and didn't analyze it too much on my first viewing.
I'm used to going into comic book movies to analyze them, to look for deeper stuff.
Sure.
And Guardians, I shouldn't have done that. But so I'm reading this movie like it's teleplaying this, and this is going to happen. And so that's why it didn't feel fresh or original, because I just, like, I saw it all transpire in front of me, like, ahead of time. So, like, when Ego's going around and be like, this and this and this and this and this, like, and telling my story, I'm like, oh, so you need Peter for the power that's in him and you're going to kill him. An hour and a half later,
that's
what happens.
Yeah.
So that's what I mean. Like, it didn't surprise me in any way, whereas the first one was a surprise. It was a delight. And I'm not saying it needed to recapture the magic, but, I mean, if you look at, like, Captain America, The First Avenger is a fun movie.
Yes.
It was surprising in its own way. The Winter Soldier is not the first movie
at all.
It's a totally different style of film.
Right.
And I thought that, like, you missed an opportunity to do that with The Guardians.
I don't know how well you could do. Well, okay, if you have James Gunn coming back for the second one again, and that's, like, his thing, and these characters, like, I don't know if they lend themselves to it. Total reinterpretation. I feel like you would be really playing with fire and really, really be risking, like, botching the whole thing if you did a different genre of movie. Because, like, Winter Soldier is a different genre of movie that happens to have some of the same characters.
Very true. That is absolutely
true. Where I'm not so sure that would translate as well with these characters.
That is true. But whereas, like, the characters in Captain America, or Captain America himself, even, still feels like it's still authentic.
Still true to that character.
It's the same character.
That's true.
Like, it's like the genre of the movie is different, but the character's the same. And so, like, this movie, like, the first movie's, like, about family, and this movie's also about family. And, like, you know what I mean? Like, I just, like, you're watching them, like, learn how to be a family again, even though the first movie was all about them learning how to be a family.
Well, so,
I mean, Gamora even says it.
I get that.
Aren't we your family?
Right. No, I get it. I get it. But, I mean, I guess just to close the loop on the Captain America thing, Captain America is a very earnest character. Mm-hmm. These are silly, zany characters.
Sure.
I don't think you could do a more serious movie,
but it doesn't have
with
to be
these characters, like, and still have them be true to themselves.
That's true. But I'm not asking for
it. It would need to still be in their own realm of comedy.
I think it needed to go in one direction or the other.
Okay.
What I'm trying to get with the dramatic thing. Like, it's trying to straddle this line between, you know, not zany enough and trying to be like, take me seriously.
There are people
dead out in space, and we're on a prostitution planet, and, like, we're serious characters. You know, like, I was just like, just pick one, it didn't settle in the right line for me. Like the opening to the movie is great. Like the monster comes down and Rocket's like, I gotta do the music because that's what Quill wants. Nobody asked for that. That's a terrible idea. Yeah. And then like the credits is Baby Groot kind of like going around and dancing.
You know, oddly, that wasn't my favorite. Like,
I don't think the song was right.
I was sort of like, this is funny for like 30 seconds, but after
a while, it went on way too long.
Yeah,
but little things like Drax going like, I gotta cut him open from the inside, and Gamora's like, isn't skin the same?
Yeah.
Like, it's the same on the inside as the outside. And Quill's like, that's what I tried to tell him. like that stuff's great.
Yeah,
but then it started to move into the, like I said, that plot territory.
Okay,
and that's when it felt like it needed more weight, but didn't know how to deliver it the correct way. However, I did really like the Sovereign.
The Sovereign? Oh, they were fine.
See, I thought... I liked Aisha, I should say.
Okay.
I liked Elizabeth Debicki. I thought...
She was fine.
I thought she was interesting. She gave a good performance, and I'm glad there's going to be more of her.
She's confirmed for
Volume 3. I'd like to see more. I'd like to see more of that. She felt like Nebula to me the first time. Like, ooh, that was interesting. I want to see more of that. But then I got more of it, and I was like, that's fine.
I like Nebula more in this movie than I did in the last one. I didn't feel like we got enough of her last time.
I agree. But she feels like she's in a bit of a different movie.
Yeah.
Where everyone's silly, and she's so serious.
Yes.
But it doesn't play off of everyone else like it did in the first one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true. And that's maybe why she wasn't in as much of the first one, because she was so different than the rest.
But the first one's a little bit more serious than this one is.
Yes, it is.
And so, like, she worked for the first one, but she didn't adapt like the rest of them did.
Here's my theory, or my feeling, inkling I get on this, is that her storyline is like a remnant of an earlier draft of the movie. And her storyline didn't change very much. Her plot didn't change very much, while the rest of the movie did evolve.
Ooh,
so hers stayed on this one through line of very seriousness and everything, like carrying through from the first movie, while the rest of the characters' plot lines did move a little bit, change a little bit, but hers stayed the same from like an early draft of the script. That's sort of what it just felt like, because she felt a little out of place.
Yeah.
But I got her story fitting or not fitting, notwithstanding, I enjoyed her as a character more this time around than I did. Maybe just because I got more to know her.
Yeah, sure.
I had a very different experience than you did of seeing this movie, because I saw it.
You saw the first one, right?
I went to a double feature. AMC Theaters were doing a double feature on Thursday night before the movie came out, where 4:30 p.m. they showed Guardians of the Galaxy 1, half-hour break, and then 7 p.m. Volume 2.
Mm-hmm.
So I got to see both movies back-to-back, which is a little break in between. So maybe that impacted my enjoyment of the movie in some way. I hadn't seen Volume 1 in a little while, a few months. I think I saw it on like HBO a few months ago or something.
Sure.
I think I mentioned it on our episode a couple weeks ago when we talked about it. So I had seen it a little while, but like not the whole thing. And so this is my first time, like only the third time I've seen the first movie.
Okay.
First time in a long time. So... I was reminded of all the things that mattered in that movie, and I'd forgotten actually a good amount of sort of like the actual plot of that movie. And then seeing Volume 2 right after it, it clicked so well, and it just felt like, I don't know, it felt like I had seen the pilot episode of a show, and like now I got to see like this, you know, mid-season of that show, like when it sort of is starting to catch legs a little bit more, and they know what they want the show to be. So, I don't know. To me, it worked really well because I had the continuity of Volume 1 into Volume 2.
Yeah.
Maybe that's... It works best when you watch it that way, but...
Possible.
I don't know.
But I don't want a movie to work like that. I don't want to have to watch the first one
to enjoy the second one more. That's a totally fair criticism.
Yeah.
That's totally fair.
And to go back to...
And that's actually kind of a flaw. If you need to watch the first one to enjoy it,
sure,
that is a flaw.
So, like the... Like other maybe sequels, it kind of drags in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the first one, they kind of go from the prison to nowhere to, you know, and they kind of hop to these different places. And this one, they're kind of just there.
Yeah. On ego, like most of the time.
And, yeah, right. And you're not really getting much out of anything. And I thought Gamora was better in this movie than she was in the last movie.
I agree.
I felt she was more like the Gamora that I read than the first movie, so I was happy about that. I thought Dave Bautista's acting got better.
Oh, I thought it was the same.
I thought,
which is great,
and I liked him in the first one. Yeah. But I thought he, like, you know, you've been practicing. I guess you've had a few movies under you now. I thought he laughed a lot.
He did laugh a lot in,
like,
this movie.
Like, too, like, calm down, Trax.
Like, too much.
Yeah, a little too much. yeah, it's just So it was just like, it did feel like, these are all the things you love. So we're just going to kind of give you more of what you love, as opposed to kind of being daring in a way and experiment a little bit outside the box, where it kind of did it a bit. Like, some jokes, some gags were longer than they maybe would have been in the first movie. Like, Baby Groot going to get, like, a thing and coming back and getting a thing and coming back.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, that was a long gag.
I thought it was a funny gag.
It was funny.
It was a real, but
first, like, two times.
But I think in the first movie you would have gotten it two times. In this one, it was like, let's stretch it out and make it a little longer because people like jokes,
right?
And but, like, that came at the expense of maybe a more interesting story than another movie about Peter Quill.
Yeah,
who I also like, and I liked Kurt Russell as Ego. Thought, like, that was all. That was all good. It's not actually the de-aging.
Because
the Marvel, it's all about what 80s actor can we de-age at the beginning of our movie.
So the de-aging was so good, once again, that I was sort of like, did they de-age him? Or did they just dress him up like that and he just still kind of looks?
Well, Kurt Russell looks great.
He looks great.
I couldn't stop looking at his hair.
I know.
Like, I was like, you have great hair, man.
I know.
Like, it's amazing.
But, and I had, like, a man crush on Kurt Russell. So I was a little bit like, did they de-age him, or did they just dress him up and put some makeup on him and he just looks that good?
They definitely did.
But it's just so convincing.
He said that it's more makeup than special effects.
Okay.
I don't know. I mean, he still looks good, but I mean, something's obviously some special effects. And it is getting, I mean, because we got it, Michael Douglas and Ant-Man, and
that one also, I was like,
one's still my favorite.
That's still the best.
Yeah, Michael Douglas and Ant-Man, and Robert Downey Jr. in Civil War.
That one I thought was the least convincing.
Shiny in he that is, one. Yeah.
Yeah, and a little robotic.
Yeah, and then in this one, and Peggy Carter got aged up.
That's right.
In Winter Soldier.
To the point where I didn't know that she wasn't an old woman.
Right.
Because I didn't know.
You didn't recognize. So I think they're getting, but, like, see, It's a stupid complaint, but now, like, this is the third movie. At the beginning of the movie, I've watched an 80s actor be young again.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, I get, like, you're just playing to nostalgia a little too much now, well, which isn't even my nostalgia, because I didn't grow up with 80s films.
Yeah. Yeah. But, I mean, what is a comic book movie but, like, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, get it from the comics? Or, like, from that thing you remember?
True, and I enjoy seeing the technology age, but right off the bat, the first scene was that, and I'm like,
yeah,
okay, now I've already felt like I've seen this. It just didn't do anything new, and that's kind of, I guess, what at the end of the day, where I was, you know what I mean?
Let's talk about how this movie stacks up against other Marvel sequels. So, like, where would you rank it amongst other Marvel sequels?
Okay, so let's think about other Marvel sequels.
So, we already
sequels.
Said Winter Soldier, right? I would call that the best.
Winter Soldier is one of their best
movies,
films,
period. Yes.
So, it's kind of that's a hard comparison, but you're also talking Iron Man 2.
Iron Man 2, Age of Ultron.
Age of Ultron, Thor the
Dark World.
Hulk doesn't get one.
Because
some of them have threequels, which you don't want to compare.
Right. No. I would only compare the second.
Yeah. So I think that's it for sequels.
I would say that it you know, I would give
so
it.
Thor, Iron Man 2, and Captain America and Guardians. Those are
Age of Ultron.
And Age of Ultron. So,
yeah, I mean, I would say that, you know,
my complaint,
Winter Soldier is first, then Guardians. Well, yeah, I would put Guardians above Iron Man 2.
My complaint about this film is the same complaint that people had about Ultron, that it was more of the same.
Yeah.
It didn't do anything new or special or different, but and it dragged in the middle.
Yeah.
But I like Ultron more than this.
I like this more than Ultron, and I felt those criticisms more for Ultron than I do for this movie.
Okay.
I am more forgiving of him in this movie for whatever reason that I can't put my finger on.
Interesting.
I just had more fun. I guess because I just had more fun. I enjoyed this movie more.
This movie
and it
is
was
more
of
fun.
A more of a fun ride.
Yeah.
Where Ultron was not as fun a ride for me.
I will agree with that thinking on it. So maybe it's Cap. I'm an Iron Man 2 apologist. I actually really like that movie. I think it's...
I liked it more on subsequent viewings of it, but I still have this memory of it as not enjoying it.
Because when people saw it, it felt like, oh, they're jamming stuff in to establish a universe. Yeah. And that was complete. But now that the universe is far established,
yeah,
it doesn't feel jammed anymore. Like, it, you know, the same way. So I kind of like... So I like it. And so I have to do, like, Cap, Iron Man... Ultron, Guardians, Thor, maybe? Because Thor's not
definitely at the bottom. That's for sure.
You know what it is? But that's another movie where it doesn't do anything new or special. It just feels pretty much the same.
I disagree. It wasn't the same at all. It was much darker and not fun. And
it's not fun.
It's not fun.
It has its moments where it's fun. There are things that he does.
Yeah, like that's it.
Mjolnir's fun, like or him like going into Jane's house and he like hangs Mjolnir up on the wall.
I guess.
And
yeah,
they're like little things.
There's little things.
There's little things, but it's not
the tone of the movie.
But it's got a weak villain.
Yes, it does.
And Ego's, even though he like causes damage and does stuff, it's got a weak villain.
Yeah,
and maybe Ego. Ego's a better villain, but not by much.
Not by much, but he is a better villain.
It's classic Marvel problem. The villains are usually not great.
Yeah.
But like the Sovereign is a villain, and I kind of enjoyed the Sovereign. I thought Guardians looked great. Dude. Like I thought it's a beautiful like the monster at the beginning with like Rainbow Blast or whatever. Yeah. Just like for no reason, it's just fun and colorful, and I really enjoy that. You know, but it just doesn't. I don't know. It was fine. It was fine.
Okay.
I thought
I would give it. I mean, on a like scale of 1 to 10,
like a 7, I guess.
See, I would give it like between a 7 and an 8.
I usually rate out of 5.
Okay.
And so I would do a 3 out of 5.
3.
Like, and 3 out of 5 to me is just, it's a movie.
Yeah.
Like, see it if you want. If you don't see it, you probably didn't miss anything.
For me, 3 feels low. I would give it like out of 10, I would give it like 7.5, 8. Like I'm not that far off from you. But
yeah.
For whatever reason, mine's like, I guess, a strong, like, this was fun. See it. It's, a, you know, like three.
And I'm just
three quarters of the way there.
Like, it's not a bad movie. It's just like, I guess maybe my expectations were high, even though I don't really love the first one. I like it, but I don't love the first one. Yeah, I don't know. Mm. Now, can we talk about the five end credit scenes?
Oh yes.
And the credits themselves for a second.
Yeah.
I liked that Sean Gunn had more to do in this film.
Yeah.
I liked that font was fun with the whistling and everything on. That was real fun.
Yeah.
I enjoyed that. I really enjoyed Stan Lee with the Watchers.
Oh my god. I didn't even know the
that
Watchers.
Actually might have been my favorite part of the movie.
Was it your favorite Stan Lee cameo?
It might be, actually. Yeah, that actually might be my favorite.
Amazing Spider-Man still has to be my favorite.
Oh, when he's got that headphones
in the library.
On. Oh, I thought in the MCU that one's not in the MCU.
It's not. But
that one
far
is great. It's so good. That one's got great choreography too, where he's just about to get hit.
Just missing him every time.
But he's just like when they just like can't take it anymore and
they walk away.
Because the Watchers are a race of celestial type beings and they don't interfere. They literally just watch. And there's one called Uatu that breaks the oath and constantly is kind of like, hey, something bad's going to happen.
Oh, I see.
Some bad's going to happen.
So are they like the Guardians of the Universe from DC?
No, they're more like the Monitors.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Watchers, the Monitors.
Monitors,
see, they're
sense.
All
yeah,
just,
yeah, I get it.
Yeah.
I'm with you.
Yeah, they're all the same. Yeah. They're more like that.
Okay.
So in the reigning theory was that Stan Lee was actually one of them because he pops up in all of these things.
Ah.
And so like, because he says, you know, like, oh, there was one time that I was a delivery guy.
Yes. And there was.
Which he was in Civil War.
In Civil War.
Even though that movie took place after this movie takes place.
That is true, but that's fine.
It doesn't matter. So like, that was fun. I really enjoyed that. When I saw it with my friend and after the end of the movie, he was like, I really want Teenage Groot. And then we got Teenage Groot in the end credits, which I thought was really funny.
Yes, that was really funny.
I don't want a whole movie with Teenage Groot, though.
No, I really hope
that. Like, that's going to, like, Baby Groot, like, it was just enough.
Yeah, just enough. I would be perfectly happy if that's all we get of Teenage Groot. I'll be fine with that. Like, if next time we see him, he's, like, grown up Groot again.
Yeah.
That'd be fun. I did think it was interesting that this is clearly not the same Groot. Like, he doesn't have the same memories and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, so which makes his sacrifice at the end of the first movie that more meaningful.
Agreed. Yeah.
Because it's not just like, I can regenerate, I'll be the same. It's like, no, it's like a new offshoot of me. I'm missing, you know, whatever.
Same being, but he doesn't remember them or whatever.
But it's not the same person. You know,
and it's nice that they were kind of all taking care of him, and this movie was about fathers and sons, and they're all taking care of baby Groot, and like, that's cute. Fun.
And Quill talking to him in that end credits scene is like, ah, you know, leaving your vines everywhere.
Staring at your device, and I enjoyed that.
Now I understand why Yondu
enjoy him calling Rocket a raccoon, because in the comics traditionally he hates being called a raccoon.
Yes.
Even though he's never been to Earth, so he shouldn't really know what a raccoon is in the movies.
In the first movie, he's like, what's a raccoon? Like, ain't nothing in the, in the galaxy like me.
Somewhere in here, he found out what a raccoon is. But I like when he called him a trash panda.
Trash panda!
It was like, so much worse. I did enjoy it. I liked that a lot.
That was great. I got a good laugh at my showing.
Yeah. What did you think of Mantis?
She was beautiful on the inside.
She's beautiful on the inside.
No, she was fine. She was. I don't know Mantis.
She was a character that was there in a movie.
Yeah, she was fine.
Yeah,
it was serviceable.
That's what I mean. The movie was serviceable.
She was a good. You know, if anything, she served as like Drax's punchline. You know, that's what she was there for. Really, that was and to give them the heads up about Ego, which admittedly was very important. But, you know, that's it. She didn't really serve that much. She wasn't really her own character. She was a device.
Yeah.
Which is sad to say, but it's true.
Yeah. So, you know what? Like, at the end, it was fine.
Yeah.
See it if you will. See it if you don't.
I see it. I mean, if you're a fan of these movies, like, see it. If nothing else, for the continuity of, like, continuing. I really enjoyed it. See what you think. Email us and tell us what you thought, beerwithgeeks@gmail.com, or tweet us @beerwithgeeks, or leave us a post on Facebook, Beer with Geeks, or leave us an iTunes review and maybe give us what you thought there.
I have an iTunes review.
Oh, well, why don't you read us one?
I'll read it to you. I like beer, I like geeks, 5 stars by Scotty Doesn't Knows.
Mm-hmm.
I love listening to this podcast. The way this show is produced makes the listeners feel like they're in the room with Tim and Frank, which is awesome, but sometimes makes me feel like I need more friends.
Aw.
However, awesome show, and I will gladly sit back and crack open a cold one when it's time for Beer with Geeks.
Nice.
Very nice.
Cool.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very, very much.
Scotty Doesn't Knows.
Well, thanks to everyone for listening, and thank you for checking out our Patreon page at patreon.com/thoughtbubbleaudio. And we really, really support, really appreciate all the support you guys give us over there. Those of you who have already donated, thank you so much. You guys rock. And you'll be getting this episode early. So that doesn't suck.
Nope.
All right. Anything else?
No. You can find us at Twitter, Facebook, and Gmail @BeerWithGeeks. You can rate and review us on iTunes, Google Play. You can find us all other places that podcast can be found. You can also check out our website at BeerWithGeeks.com or ThoughtBubbleAudio.com. You can find Frank and I on Supergirl TV Talk, which we talk about CW's hit show Supergirl, or you can find Frank on The Marketers Next Door.
That's right.
Which he talks about all social media related news with his lovely wife, Marissa.
Mm-hmm.
There'll be other shows coming down the pipeline, stuff to keep you interested in, especially if you are a Patreon supporter.
That is right.
Yeah, I kind of went into my NPR voice.
You did, I like
it. Yeah, this is Thought Bubble Audio.
This is all geeks considered.
Brought to viewers like you. but I say, until next time, cheers.